You're with SBS Radio.
We launched the roadmap in 2012, so that's now 6 years ago, and we launched our annual update of the progress that's been made in implementing the recommendations of the roadmap about 3 weeks ago in Adelaide.
So now, 6 years after the beginning of this roadmap to close the gap of vision, and there are significant improvements. The gap is being closed very, very quickly. Tell us about this development, Professor Taylor.
Well, we're very pleased to see the progress that is being made, and we know there are so many areas in the Close the Gap targets that are not being met, but for closing the gap for vision, we've actually reduced the amount of blindness, the excess amount of blindness, by half. Now, it was six times more blindness in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people than in mainstream Australia back in 2008, and now it's been halved, so but still three times, which is still not acceptable at all. So there's more work to do there, obviously. And also with trachoma, the rate of trachoma in children in the outback areas was 21% in 2008, and that's now down to about 3.5 or 4% in the most recent data. So we are actually making some really good progress in trying to close the gap for vision.
Yeah, when you say progress is being made, you say it's still three times, but looking at the developments that you're making, I can see that the projections are that by 2020, actually, the gap will be closed.
Well, we certainly hope so. We looked at the pathway of care or the patient journey and said it was like a leaky pipe. There were lots of cracks where people would fall through the system. And if we only fixed one or two of the leaks, the pipe was still leaking. We actually had to do everything. So our roadmap contains 42 different things that need to be done. And what we showed in our 2018 annual update is that we've made really good progress. Three quarters of the intermediate steps have been done, and 19 of those 42 recommendations have been fully implemented. And we're looking at developing coordinated and integrated regional services across the country. And we've now got more than three quarters of the country covered with at least the start of these services. So we feel we're making really good progress.
Yeah, and the most exciting thing is that most of this progress is being done thanks to working with Aboriginal controlled health services.
Well, the key is that is to work with the community and with the ACCHOs. I mean, that's critically important. And then coordinating the patient journey or the case management and making sure that the mainstream services are culturally safe. You know, that's really the bedrock on which we're building it. And what we're trying to do is link primary care, the ACCHOs, with the visiting specialist services, optometry and ophthalmology, in an appropriate and acceptable way.
Despite the very, very good results that can be observed, there are still some areas of concern. We look at situations of where the diabetes is one of the causes of blindness within the Indigenous communities is a concern, and it's still on the rise.
Yes, diabetes is a huge concern, and everybody with diabetes is at risk of going blind from diabetes. But we can stop up to 98% of that blindness by timely treatment. So it's really important that people with diabetes get their eyes examined once a year. And there's been great progress with that. We've now got a Medicare item number for retinal photography, and the Commonwealth is rolling out 155 retinal cameras to each of the Aboriginal medical services across the country. So there's a real possibility now to get that initial screening done in the ACCHO and then link that up with, if there are problems, to get the referral for assessment and treatment if needs be. So that's one area where there's still more work to do, but there's some really good progress being made.
This is a very expensive equipment, but is this treatment fully covered by Medicare?
For most of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, the services will be covered by Medicare and or in the public hospital system. There are still some people with will be faced with gap fees, and that's something, again, that we're working on. And as part of the Medicare review, that's going on, the Commonwealth's doing across all the Medicare items. There's look at what one can do about facilitating that access, particularly for the injections in the back of the eye, as well as the laser treatment, which are both used for treating diabetic eye disease.
Yes, indeed, reforms needing to be made. On the scientific side, it looks like you are in control, you're really looking after this situation and getting the results that one would hope for. But there's another area of concern. It's this pandemic of trachoma, and it's only found within indigenous communities within developed countries. This is where we speak about a two-speed system whereby one part of the community live in third world conditions and with third world illnesses.
You're absolutely correct. And there are a number of countries now that have eliminated trachoma, and there's a lot of pressure in Australia to try to make sure that we can eliminate trachoma by the end of the year 2020. So we've got 24 and a half months to go. And I think there's been some really good progress, as I mentioned before, reducing the rates down a great deal, but there are still a number of hotspot communities where more intensive work is needed. But it's been a combination both of the use of antibiotic treatment to reduce the level of infection, but the real key is making sure we keep every child's face clean. Every child with a dirty face is a health hazard and can spread the infection to their other brothers and sisters and other children they play with. So we're really focusing on clean faces, strong eyes as the public health message for the community. But for the service providers, it's clean faces, safe bathrooms. The children have to have safe and functional washing facilities in their homes, in the houses, at school, at preschool, and so forth. And there's a real need for that prompt repair and maintenance to make sure that the washing facilities keep working.
When we speak about these washing facilities, I'm looking at a community that was in the news last week, a community in Walgett, somewhere up in New South Wales, where the water, the salt content is 15 to 30 times higher than the levels medically acceptable. And
I saw that, and Walgett used to have a lot of problem with trachoma. I was there in the 70s looking at kids with trachoma, but trachoma has disappeared from Walgett. But it's still a question of water quality in many of the other remote communities. But as far as washing your face, the water quality is less important. It's obviously very important if you're drinking it or cooking with it, but for washing your hands and face, as long as the water is clean, salt content is not such a critical issue.
Yeah, okay, that's very good news for the people up there in Walgett. They're not likely to see the resurgence of this, I'll call it a scourge, because it's really something that's a calamity in many parts of the world.
I think it's really important that, you know, if people have a problem with their vision, that they make sure that they let the people in the ATCHOs know, and so they can then set up the referral for them to see the optometrist or the ophthalmologist. And if they're having problems with, you know, getting the arrangements or the bookings made, then you need to talk to the clinic staff to help guide you through that process, because there's a lot of resources there that we really want to make sure that people in the community are using.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.